Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. I'm Craig Mish along with Davis Maddock. It's great to be with you here. It's July 13, 2022. We're going to get to a lot of stories in sports, help you set a DFS roster today for a couple of different sports. Of course, Major League Baseball tonight, but the Open Championship is coming up, Davis, this weekend. And what do you know, tomorrow when we're on the show here, of course, there are a few hours ahead. We're going to have some information, some leaderboards, and I'm very excited to talk with Dubs coming up in a few minutes on that too.
Yep, getting really excited for the Open Championship. Does not look right now like the weather is going to be particularly bad overseas. It's also been extremely hot, record heat wave in the summer over in the United Kingdom right now. So honestly, I'm expecting some very low scores. Would not surprise me to see the lower winning score in the Open Championship than the alternate field event, the Barracuda Championship is playing, which you don't see all that often.
No, we don't. Dubs will set the lineup for you along with Davis coming up in less than 20 minutes from now, so stay on the grid for that. Here are our headlines here on the show. If you have the Baltimore Orioles winning the World Series at the beginning of the season, they probably still won't win it, but my gosh, you are feeling good about what? Your 2,000-to-1 bet right now? They're 500. They've won 9 games in a row. The Chicago Bears trade a irrelevant 7th-round pick for former 1st-round pick, N'Keal Harry, wide receiver. Evgeny Malkin in free agency signs a 4-year deal. He is back with the Pittsburgh Penguins. And then Davis, the story that percolated late yesterday afternoon, the Utah Jazz apparently listening to trade offers for Donovan Mitchell, which would certainly signal a full rebuild, if I'm not mistaken, for the Utah Jazz. Their coach, of course, left in the offseason, Rudy Gobert, and now Donovan Mitchell. Boy, if they trade Mitchell, Utah signaling a high lottery pick, I would think, in next year's draft.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when they traded Rudy Gobert for that plethora of picks and some of those young guys, I think that this was always sort of written in the stars. I mean, I do think it was reasonable for them to maybe look at these picks and all the salary cap they cleared moving on from Rudy Gobert and say, hey, well, you know, we'll make a couple calls, see if it's possible to retool with all these picks. Is there anyone else who is, you know, maybe available? Could we add a 3-and-D type guy? Does Donovan Mitchell have any superstar buddies who are sick of where they're playing? And they probably did their due diligence, made their calls, sent their emails, and were like, you know what? Let's just not do this. And the Western Conference, I mean, the Western Conference is insane. You know, the Trailblazers re-up Damian Lillard. They pay Anthony Simons. They pay Yusuf Nurkic. They trade for Jeremy Grant. And they're like the 10th best team in the Western Conference with a huge tax bill. So if I was a Western Conference GM right now, I would probably be trying to bide my time, wait for Steph and LeBron, to kind of move on. So I get it from that perspective for sure.
Yeah, we will see. This is another big name. But again, we heard Kevin Durant's name over a week ago, and nothing has transpired with that. Maybe this opens things up, but have a feeling over the next week or two, we'll get some clarity on that as well. Davis, let's go to the Orioles here for a minute. They are back to 500 for the first time in 5 years or 6 years, I believe. I mean, going into the season, there were really not a lot of expectations that this team would compete. They've got some really good sneaky pitching performances. This window all of a sudden for them seems to be opening up a little bit. And look, certainly hard to envision any scenario where they make the World Series, let alone even getting into the playoffs. But any team that wins 9 games in a row and they're at the trade deadline all of a sudden, I mean, Davis, this Orioles franchise, you know, Cal Ripken, Eddie Murray, Brooks Robinson, Hall of Famers, spending money for years and years the Orioles have. I mean, could they actually be buyers at the deadline? I mean, how many teams can make it from that division?
I mean, I don't think they will buy at the deadline just kind of because of that organizational directive. And, I don't even know if they want to be competitive. Like, I think maybe there would be some conversations in the front office, like, you know, I don't know if this is the best thing for our franchise to actually have a winning record this season. And I mean, I think you can see some of that stuff in their lineup decision making. You know, Jorge Mateo, 7 home runs, 22 steals, still sitting there at the bottom of their lineup, batting 9th for them every single day. And, you know, I mean, looking at some of their starting pitching, it's kind of it's definitely to me of the unsustainable sort of variety, you know, some hot starts, some timely hitting and things. I mean, and we see this actually, weirdly enough, the last team that I can just think of off the top of my head is the Baltimore Orioles under Buck Showalter, where they have like, they won like 90% of their one run games over the course of the season. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, it's nice. It's fun. I'm sure Baltimore Orioles fans are sort of enjoying this, but I don't think they need to be thinking like, oh, you know, let's make a World Series run here, especially because that division they play in, I think they are going to get hammered in the back half of the season.
Yeah, going to be really hard to do. They did get one player into the All-Star game, and that is Jorge Lopez. Also want to mention 3 new All-Stars Davis added yesterday, and JD Martinez is going to the All-Star game. So is Carlos Rodon, and also Garrett Cooper of the Miami Marlins. So the Marlins end up with 3 All-Stars going in this year. And by the way, a lot of the players that are being added at this point are going in through the player vote. That's the way that this works now with Major League Baseball. Basically, the top 3 players that were voted in by the players in terms of the most votes that they got, those guys go in. And then after the top 3 go in, then it's Major League Baseball's decision to put those players in as well. Just for FYI. All right, coming up next, speaking of baseball, we've got a full slate in Daily Fantasy coming up tonight. And boy, is the pitching plentiful. A lot of spending up tonight over on DraftKings, it looks like, for David. We'll set the lineups for you coming up next right here on Fantasy Sports Today. Break,
break. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Wednesday baseball slate over on DraftKings. For those of you getting ready to play tonight, time to get out your app and your tablet, your phone, however you decide to play tonight. We're going to help you set a lineup. Davis, always brightens my day when I see the slate here on a Wednesday and I see essentially 2 very strong pitching options on the board. And making no mistake about it tonight, Davis, this is the direction that you're going to go tonight. Just basically throw the money at the pitchers and we'll figure out some of the hitters later.
Yeah, and they are, I mean, the 2 options that I've selected here are far from the only strong pitchers going. Zach Wheeler is starting against Toronto. Joe Musgrove is going, but he is pitching in Coors. Tony Gonsolin, you know, the peripherals have not been all that strong, but he's getting about as lucky as a starting pitcher can get. Has a 1.62 ERA despite striking out less than a guy per inning. He is going up against the Cardinals. Christian Javier is going. Luis Severino is going. Lucas Giolito is going. So there is simply no shortage of starting pitchers to choose from. I have selected Shane McClanahan, who is pitching at home against the Boston Red Sox. Maybe not as terrifying a matchup as we maybe thought at the beginning of the season. You know, looking at guys like JD Martinez and Trevor Story, who have not hit to the back of their baseball cards. You know, really, it's just been Devers and Xander Bogaerts who have been kind of carrying that offense. I believe Devers even got banged up the other night. So McClanahan feels like an easy play. He has been over 25 DraftKings points in every single start since the 5th of May. Absolutely unbelievable stuff from Shane McClanahan. Guy's been absolutely mowing the batters down, and I think this $10,000 salary price is fair. And then how about this? This is actually insane. Right now, on the FanDuel Sportsbook, Shohei Ohtani is inside the top 5 for both American League Cy Young and American League MVP odds, and he actually has accumulated more wins above replacement as a starting pitcher this season than as a hitter. I mean, that is, it's just truly unbelievable stuff. He has been phenomenal. Now, the matchup against the Houston Astros, far from optimal. The Astros are very, very good. They can beat up on pretty much any starting pitcher, but I think it's also negated a little bit by the salary you're paying. I would not be surprised to see him be less owned than Luis Severino, who gets to play at home to the Cincinnati Reds, or even Lucas Giolito, who is very, very cheap, sitting at 7,900. Now, Giolito has really struggled this season in ERA above 5, but we know he has those skills. But I think a lot of different ways you can go at second starting pitcher, but McClanahan's got to be the number one guy today.
Yeah, interesting. Otani, I think, has better odds to win the MVP than Cy Young. Like, how's that even possible? But McClanahan, clearly the favorite to win the Cy Young. You're right. He's had an unbelievable season and worth playing every single night that he plays. Angels have just been brutal. Wow, falling apart completely. All right, let's go to the offensive lineup chosen tonight over on Daily Roto. This is Davis's team here. Adley Rutschman at catcher. He is 3,800 for the Orioles. Orioles are hot. Why not? Just ride them. Luke Voit, 3,800 for the Padres. Esteury Ruiz got the call up. And boy, min price here, 2,000 for him. Can steal some bases, get some hits. Patrick Wisdom is 4,800. And then there's our buddy, Ha-Seong Kim, for the Padres, back in the lineup again at 3,200 tonight.
Well, you know, with a trip to Coors Field, and not only a trip to Coors Field, but a trip to Coors Field against Chad Cole, probably their worst or second worst starting pitcher in the rotation, you knew I was not going to abandon my boy Ha-Seong Kim. But this guy, Esteury Ruiz, Craig, across his last, I believe it's his last 120 games in AA and AAA, so the last two seasons, he has 70 steals. Not a typo. I 70 steals. I cannot wait to bid on this guy in the NFBC main event. Now the problem with him is he is going to steal a lot. Not a particularly good hitter. His hard hit rate in AAA would have made him last on the Padres roster in hard hit rate. So it's we're not expecting him to come up and be, you know, hitting home runs, but if like kind of a Billy Hamilton, D Gordon type profile, you know, not a great hit tool, but when he gets on base, you got to be pretty careful. Hopefully he can hit a little bit better than those guys. And then we of course included Luke Voit here. I mean, I just don't really understand this DraftKings pricing. You know, a lot of the times guys are just going to get a big boost when they go to Coors Field, as they should. You know, the run total there, the environment, I think the total for this game is 11.5, even with Joe Musgrove pitching for the Padres. And, you know, just sitting there at 3,800, we got to use Luke Voit. Rutschman, I like him. I mean, I just like the offensive environment in that game for the Cubs. You know, we got warm weather there. I was just in Chicago this weekend. Trust me, it's hot. No update yet on what the wind is going to be like. Obviously, if the wind does end up blowing up, then we're going to see a lot of chalk in that Cubs-Orioles game. And then we have a guy from the other side of the game. We have Patrick Wisdom, who's kind of he's kind of becoming one of my pet players. I just love guys of this profile. You know, he's got that extreme 90th percentile launch angle. He's kind of like a right-handed Joey Votto, honestly, at this point. He's really a three true outcomes hitter, and sitting there at 4,800 going up against Spencer Watkins, who has been one of these pleasant surprises for the Baltimore Orioles. But again, as we talked about in the introduction of the show, I am not necessarily buying it.
All right, let's close it out with the outfielders tonight. Giancarlo Stanton will be in the lineup. He is priced at 5,400 tonight over on DraftKings. Cedric Mullins, another Oriole, at 4,800. And then one of the really peculiar stories of fantasy baseball this season, Davis, has been Trent Grisham, who, I mean, I have no idea. Like, no one seems to know what has happened to him, but he can't play offense. He made a very poor defensive play the other day. Ball went to the wall, gave up an inside-the-park home run. Some talk that Grisham could be traded to another team. And, boy, this would be a nice spot for him to get going tonight. I have no idea what happened to him this season.
Yeah, I mean, this is just kind of one of those things. I mean, it feels like we kind of get this every year in fantasy baseball where a guy that used to be really strong just ends up being horrible. And that is exactly what we're seeing. I mean, all of his numbers are down. You know, he is hitting way more ground balls, way fewer fly balls. He is not able to pull the ball. His hard hit rate for his career average is 35%. The Major League Baseball average this year is 39%. His hard hit rate is 39%. So you might be asking me, Davis, why would a guy with this batted ball profile be in your lineup? Well, He's probably going to bat seventh tonight in Coors Field for the Padres. I really like this spot for the Padres. Obviously, he's 3,000. And then sort of the opposite is Cedric Mullins, a guy who the fantasy baseball community kind of said they didn't believe in, even after that insane season last year, right? Power, speed, not a horrible batting average, walks a little bit. And he's sitting here at 4,600, has this matchup against Justin Steele, who is, a pitcher who I don't particularly believe in all. I mean, he's fine, but kind of a correlation there with Adley Rutschman. Don't mind Jorge Mateo batting ninth for the Orioles tonight either. And then Stanton, this is just a very simple thing I do in MLB DFS. Whenever Aaron Judge, at his insane salary, $6,400 on DraftKings tonight, by the way, whenever very expensive Aaron Judge is in a good spot and projects to be over 10% owned, just play Stanton. Because if you look at these guys for their careers, their career numbers are super similar, right? Super similar numbers versus lefties, super similar K rates, super similar walk rates. Judge is just playing better right now. But over the long term, I would expect those guys' performances to be pretty similar.
Yeah, makes sense. And both can, drive the ball, hit it out. And naturally, the Yankees probably going to get a little even tonight, I would think, against, as you mentioned, the Cincinnati Reds. By the way, that guy Steele gives up a lot of home runs, if I'm not mistaken. So that could be a good play to fade as well. All right, speaking of fading and speaking of going with the flow, we're going to find out next. The British Open, the start of it is now officially less than 24 hours away. So who better to bring in to give the picks than Dubs Anderson? He's going to join Davis next. They're going to go over who you should be selecting this weekend at the Open Championship. So stay on the grid for that. We've got Fantasy Reality and the Sports Grid 60 as well. Then I'll be back with you at 2 o'clock Eastern for another edition of Newswire. So stay on the grid. The Open's coming up. We've got a preview for you coming up next right here on Fantasy Sports Today after this quick message. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I am Davis Maddock, joined, as always, on Wednesday afternoons by our friend Dubs Anderson. We always talk about the wide world of golf, and everyone's attention is on the Open Championship being played at St. Andrews, as it is every 5 years. But we have not been here since 2015. It was supposed to be in 2020, got postponed due to the coronavirus pandemic, but we're back. 150th Open Championship, the birthplace of golf. And, the Open is always my favorite major. I mean, one, it's nice to wake up and have golf on at, 6 o'clock in the morning. Cannot complain about that at all. Rory tends to play pretty well at Open Championships, my favorite guy. But it's just, I don't know, Lynx golf to me is just, it's just the best.
Yeah, and I mean, it's the Wild Wild West this week. I mean, what a lead up to an event, the Open Championship final major of the year. So many storylines coming into this one, Davis, but I think the golf course is actually going to play a little easier than expected. I think we certainly get to double digits under par. What can we expect for Lynx Golf? I think you need a bit more shot making this week. I think the shorter hitters are definitely in play for this one. The golf course is playing really firm, so everyone's going to get a lot of runoff. That means they're going to run through the fairways, find the thick rough, find these pot bunkers, and again, there's a lot of undulation protecting the golf course. So I think ultimately, a bit of shot making, a bit of golf IQ, but short game and putting is going to get it done for me, but don't sleep on the small ball. This one is wide open. And the DFS lineups, I think we've got to get a little chalky. You look at the major winners this season, the elite players are going to be up there, but we certainly need a couple of flyers. I mean, who's going to be this year's Henrik Stenson, Francesco Molinari? That's what I'm looking for.
Absolutely. I can get along with most of that. I mean, this is how I'm playing it this week. Probably more than any other golf event, the Open Championship at St. Andrews is going to be impacted by the weather. If the winds are kicking up, if it's rainy, if it's miserable out there, I mean, we have seen very you know, close to par scores win this event. I always think of the Zach Johnson, Mark Leishman, Louis Oosthuizen playoff. When I think about bad weather, it was like those guys on Thursday and Friday were just miserable. I mean, 30-mile-an-hour winds, you couldn't hold the green. You were hitting out of the pop bunkers with wind in your face. And then other years, you know, it's not like that, right? It's nice and calm. And you know, I guess we have not played an open championship in calm conditions in 12 years. I mean, think about how much has changed in the golf world. These guys, average driving distance has improved like 30 yards. I mean, I think I do think we're going to kind of see some guys who are, you know, maybe not the best players on tour, you know, kind of your Aaron Wises and Luke List, just be making loads of birdies if the weather is calm. Because if a par four is 340 yards and you're getting 30 yards a roll, these guys are just rolling the ball up on the green off the tee.
Yeah, it's not a long golf course, Davis, so we need Mother Nature to kick up a bit of a storm. You know, the guys teeing off early on Thursday, they're going to get the favorable run. But the way I'm seeing it, I don't think we do. I mean, I spoke to a guy who's over there. He's like, look, if it does get up, you can see four different golf courses in 4 days, right? I mean, you've got prevailing winds switching and swirling, coming different directions. So that changes the golf course. And again, you've got to adapt. You've got to have that sort of, you know, creativity out on the golf course. And again, I lean towards the guys from the DP World Tour who've got that Lynx golf experience. But if we don't get a lot of wind, it's going to feel more like a PGA Tour event where the best iron players are going to come to the top of that leaderboard.
Yep. All right, getting into some of my favorite plays on DraftKings this week, we have Cameron Smith at 9,500. I think his creativity with the wedges, I mean, he is one of the best wedge players I've ever seen. Guy is going to be rolling it in, sticking it really close, right, you know, from the grid. And I also don't think he will struggle out of the bunkers either because he is so creative there. Joaquin Niemann, I think he is kind of a nice mix of skill around the greens, but also just able to hit the ball a country mile off the tee. Ryan Fox, I mean, he's everyone's favorite play this week, playing super well on the DP World Tour. He opened up at the sports books this week at 100-1. He's been bet down to 70-1 most spots. And, you know, I mean, look, it's a major championship. Is Rory going to win? Can I bet him to win? I don't know. 10-1, pretty short number on my guy. But he's making the cut. And he is going to have, you know, it's hard to tell if it's going to be a fire of 65 on Friday, peter out on Saturday week for him, or struggle Thursday and then fire the 64 on Sunday. You know, I don't know what he's going to do, but he, you know, without the wins, he is having this great season and he's going to top 10 this event. We all know.
Yeah, I know. I think Rory McIlroy has certainly found that vintage form from back in 2014. This has been a different Rory McIlroy. I think he's motivated. He's angry about everything that's going off the golf course. And the biggest improvement has been that short game. He's got a bunch of different shots. He's going to need that this week. And I think a guy like Rory McIlroy and Cameron Smith, you put them on an easy golf course, they lose focus. You know, they're like, okay, where do I put this one? But you put them on a tough, demanding golf course where the wind's moving directions, a bit of shot making, move it both ways. I think guys like Rory, Cameron Smith are built for this one. I think they're going to be there on Sunday. So I like those picks at the elite market. I think Ryan Fox, the Kiwi, I mean, I can't get behind a Kiwi Davis being an Aussie, but he's been having a good run on the DP World Tour. If you're looking for another guy from that tour, I think Jordan Smith is a name to watch. He had another good tournament there at the Scottish Open last week. I mean, Jordan Spieth, the ultimate Lynx specialist. He's there at, what, 8,900. It's not great value, but I've got to have a slice of him. And again, Justin Thomas from the top of the board, 10,500. I think he's finally ready to play some good Lynx golf. He's been learning from the big cat. He's got bones on the bag. And I think he's playing with house money. That recent win at the PGA Championship takes off a lot of pressure. If it plays tough, JT's the man for the job. And if it plays easy, a birdie shootout, I think JT also fits the bill. If you're looking for a couple of, you know, pro Vs to throw in the bag to fill up that card, I think a couple of guys worthy to note, a guy like Minwoo Lee can still get him at 6,800. He's gone off really early on Thursday. And I don't mind a couple of the older statesmen, a guy like Kevin Kisner, an absolute grinder, a dog, because distance is not going to be a factor this week. And another old fella, the kitchen stink, Stewie Cink, a former winner here at the Open Championship. He's shown glimpses again on the PGA Tour this season. I think we see a couple of old guys in the mix on Sunday. This is the beauty of the Open Championship, Davis. We're going to have the pedigree, the elites on that leaderboard. We're going to have a couple of bolters like a Molinari showed us. And then I think we get an old guy like, you know, a Tom Watson at 59 years of age trying to get it done late on a Sunday. This golf course, it's going to give a bit of everything. I think that's what makes it so special.
I think you're right. I mean, I do think the fact that you can kind of talk yourself into any type of player winning here is kind of great. You know, looking at a U.S. Open, yeah. a PGA, the Masters. I mean, some of these shorter hitters, they can't do it, right? They're not yeah. going to make enough birdies. But, you know, if the wind kicks up, if the greens aren't sticking, you know, pretty much anything can happen here. Moving to some of the guys I'm looking to not play on DraftKings this week. I mean, the first thing is anyone involved in the LIV. Brooks,
yeah.
Patrick Reed, Dustin Johnson. I mean, it's just these guys don't care. We saw some of these LIV guys play last week in the Scottish Open, and they all stunk because they're not practicing yeah. and they don't care. Paul Casey generally just gets kind of popular at these Euro contests. If I'm going to play a popular guy in this range, I'd rather play Fox. Tommy Fleetwood won. I mean, I've wanted him to win this event for so long. Doesn't feel like it's going to happen. But also, my golf instructor last week told me I need to be watching Tommy Fleetwood swing and trying to mimic that. And if he thinks I can mimic that, that means that it can't be that pure of a swing. So I'm off Tommy for that reason. Dustin, 9,200, not a chance. And then honestly, I actually would rather bet Spieth outright than play him in DFS because he just always gets popular in these events where kind of more casual players are playing. And I mean, I would rather play Cam Smith straight up over him. I would rather play Morikawa straight up over him. Scottie Scheffler straight up over him. So not in on Jordan this week.
Yeah, and I think that's a good fade plays. I mean, for Jordan Spieth, he's just got the intangibles, which I think are going to be needed this week.
Right.
He can get up and down out of a ball washer. I just can't say no to the Texas kid who's got a bit of experience in the win. For Dustin Johnson, I agree with that one. Tommy Fleetwood, I mean, the best set of lettuce in the business, but how's he going to be coming out of the cabbage? How is this guy not won on the PGA Tour? That is not good enough. I mean, I'd rather take a slice of Tyrrell Hatton at 8,700, who has won on this golf course twice before. At least he's got the breakthrough win, you know, at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. I can't figure out Tommy Fleetwood. And as your instructor has told you, Davis, it is one of the most pure moves on the tour. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the golf swing. We've seen him show up on these leaderboards at the majors before that fails to get it done. So I'm probably going to lean towards Tyrrell Hatton out of the Angry Englishman duo, if you will. A couple other fade plays. I'm not big on Scottie Scheffler. I'm not big on Victor Hovland. I think the short game's a little spotty. And Tony Finau, I just haven't seen enough good form. And again, it's not bomb and gouge this week. It's about creativity and shot making. I think some of the big bombers might struggle in that department.
Yep. All right. I got a couple plays across the pond over here in the States for the Barracuda Championship. They're doing the Stableford scoring, which basically means bogeys don't matter. It's all about making birdies, all about making eagles. Yeah. So I got Nicholas Muller, 80-1, Taylor Pendrith, 25-1. He's been playing super well, the Canadian.
Yeah,
Callum Tarrant, who I think T25'd at the PGA Championship, and then Joseph Bramlett at 100-1. It works out because that event is in California. So you'll be watching the Open Championship. It's going to get off your TV about 3 or 4. Then you'll just flip it over and they'll just be getting into the back nine over at the Barracuda Championship.
Yeah, that's what we want. I love a slice of Canadian bacon. Taylor Pendrith, give me two of those. Thanks. And Callum Tarrant, and you know, a young English lad who's now playing out here stateside. I don't mind that. Keep an eye out for Maverick McNealy. It is as chalky as you can get, but back in California, he plays up there. You know, he grew up in Pebble Beach. He's been looking for that breakthrough win on the PGA Tour. I think if he's ever going to have a great chance over the field, it's this week. I mean, what a field. I'd probably have to give it a B minus in terms of field strength for that one, Davis. But that is the beauty of golf right now, the Open Championship. We can roll in to the Barracuda. There's no sleep coming up this week, Davis. We have got to keep it lit and back some winners come Sunday.
Yeah, I'm super excited. Guys, we, of course, are going to keep you updated on the Open Championship all week long, both here on FST and in everything else that's going on Sports Grid TV. So make sure that you are following all that. Thanks to Dubs for joining us. I'm going to be rejoined by Craig here in just a moment for Fantasy Reality. Stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Thanks again to Dubs for coming on the show. Looking forward to the British Open starting tomorrow morning. And Davis, we're going to have Fantasy Reality coming up. But for those of you who are going to be following the Open Championship all weekend long on Sports Grid, make sure you are following us on Twitter at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV for the latest news, notes, information, picks against the spread from all of our hosts all weekend long, live update coverage of the Open Championship exclusively here from a betting perspective on Sports Grid. Follow us as well. By the way, if you have a question for Fantasy or Reality, send that to us as well at Sports Grid, at Sports Grid TV. You can copy me at Craig Mish, at Davis Matic for sure. Davis, you know, the one thing that is percolating a little bit before we get to Fantasy Reality here in the All-Star game is actually your guy, the guy that you talked about all season long. Ty France is still the one name that has not been added to this All-Star game yet. I fully believe by the time we're on the show tomorrow, this is going to happen. But he is the clear omission, I think, at this point to the Midsummer Classic.
Yeah, I mean, come on, what more does the guy have to do? You know, he plays multiple positions, well above average at his position, 300 batting average, 379 OBP. He's got 10 home runs on the season. I mean, come on. He leads baseball. This is actually like a funny little Ty France quirk. Leads all of baseball in hit by pitches each of the last two seasons, you know, kind of rediscovering the lost art of getting the free pass by leaning in. Come on, let's get Ty France to the All-Star game. Who is the Royals All-Star representative? Is it one of our crappy like bullpen pitchers or something? Benintendi, what a joke. Andrew Benintendi does not deserve to be in the All-Star game. Absolute trap. Come on, how is Bobby Witt? I actually looked this up because I was wondering, you know, what would have happened if we would have just taken Bobby Witt instead of Mondesi in our NFBC main event draft? Because obviously I wanted to take Bobby Witt. Bobby Witt has 12 home runs and 16 steals and is hitting 260. Like, come on.
He's doing what Mondesi was supposed to do. I know.
Benintendi. Benintendi in the All-Star game. Joke. Come on, baseball. Figure it out.
Yeah. If you can give me the Arizona Diamondbacks All-Star, I'll hand over something to you. Yeah,
okay,
no chance.
Let me think. Is it?
We'll be here all day.
Hitter or pitcher?
Pitcher.
Relief pitcher.
Brett even gave you relief pitcher.
Not. I mean, because Melanson is their closer, but he's been bent. I mean,
that's good.
I got no idea. I got. Yeah. Is it Melanson?
Joe Mantiply.
Okay, there we go. Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. Still doesn't ring a bell. I know, it's okay. All right, time for some fantasy or reality. All right, well, naturally, in golf, we have two stories. One is the action on the course, and then the other is the action off the course with this whole LIV Golf Tournament versus the PGA Tour and the antitrust and everything else. And then, lo and behold, we get the news from Front Office Sports yesterday that there's the potential of a new soccer league, a super soccer league, so to speak, that they're trying to do the same thing, potentially, that LIV Golf is trying to do, take some of the powerhouses, create their own league as well. Millions, if not billions of dollars at stake in terms of TV rights. Naturally, the primary leagues don't want to see this happen. So, Davis, you obviously will have a good idea on this one. Fantasy reality, we will see a soccer super league try to form again. Boy, it sure seems inevitable at this point, doesn't it?
Yeah, 100% this is inevitable. We see this problem in American sports too, right? The Golden State Warriors just had the most expensive team of all time in NBA history last season. Then the team they have this season is going to be even more expensive. The Clippers are going to be the third most expensive team in history. Like, it's to the point where it was to retain Gary Payton, the Warriors would have had to have spent an extra $90 million in luxury tax money to keep Gary Payton, right? So we see the haves and the have-nots, and in world soccer, with no salary cap, you can just pay these guys whatever you want, right, whatever they ask for. It's completely impossible. You know, we have these sovereign wealth funds that own PSG and Manchester United, the Glazer family. They have billions and billions of dollars, like, even to the point to where some of these organizations can be worth $2 billion and be outspent, right? You can have $2 billion and not have enough money to have a truly competitive world championship team. 100% this is happening. I don't know if it'll happen. I think the blowback was so harsh the first time they tried to do this. I think it's 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years away. But PSG, Real Madrid, Juventus, Manchester United, 100% they want to do this because it will just make them more money. So 100% reality, this is going to happen.
Yeah, I think the timeline is the one thing that we're not sure about, but I agree. I don't think that there's any argument against this. I mean, all you have to do is see all the attention, by the way, toward this LIV Golf tournament and the fact that players are actually going over there. I mean, think of the conversation that we had a couple of months ago. The LIV Golf tournament, it's going to be a joke. There's going to be nobody good playing in it. Now, all of a sudden, it's like, I mean, no offense, Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau. Like, I mean, you're getting names that are actually going and playing in this thing. They're not the best. But there's no way 2 months ago that anybody could have sat here and predicted that they were going to get the kind of names that they have gotten on this tour. No chance. It was all washed up guys. No one cares. It's still not the best of the best, but it has been significantly different than what we first thought initially. So no question, they will find a way to make this happen in soccer. Too much money out there. May not be as popular in the United States, but worldwide, the money that they're talking about, a TV contract could fill with this. Out of control. Reality definitely happening for sure. All right, let's move on and let's get to our second question here, which is about Donovan Mitchell of the Utah Jazz. We heard today that there's a possibility that Mitchell could be traded. Maybe so, maybe not. We don't know. But let's ask this question here because, of course, Kevin Durant's name is still out there and there definitely are some others. Fantasy or reality, Donovan Mitchell will be the next NBA star traded, Davis. Is this fantasy or reality?
So I think the wording here is what is important. If you were asking me fantasy or reality, Donovan Mitchell will be traded, I got reality. But fantasy or reality, Donovan Mitchell will be the next NBA all-star traded. I think the answer is fantasy. Because let's even say there's like a framework where Donovan Mitchell is involved in the Kevin Durant, Phoenix Suns, Miami Heat, like, you know, because there's got to be it. I think for Durant to move, there has to be a three-team trade because of this weird rule with Ben Simmons, where like Ben Simmons and Donovan Mitchell, right, for example, can't be on the same team. You can't. I don't remember what the exact rule is, but it's like if you were an all-star player on a rookie contract, they can't both be acquired via trade. So I think, and assuming that the Jazz don't enter that sweepstakes, so if the Jazz are not involved in being the third team there, they're not going to be able to find a good market. No one is giving up a big package for Donovan Mitchell right now until the Kevin Durant stuff is sorted, right? Why would I trade 3 first-round picks and a good young player for Donovan Mitchell if I could trade 3 first-round picks and a good young player for Kevin Durant? Or, you know, the associated guy in the three-team trade, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, Jimmy Butler, right, Tyler Herro, et cetera, et cetera. So I got fantasy.
Yeah, I got the other side. I'm going to take the other side on this one. I got reality, and I'll explain why. This isn't so much about Mitchell, but here's my opinion with this. Now, and I think if I'm not mistaken, I also heard that rule that you were talking about, Davis. I think that Bam Adebayo and Ben Simmons also can't be on the same team, if I'm not right. So I think the dynamic here is all circling around the same team. It's not me giving a homer pick here at all, but it does seem like Miami's going to end up with someone here in this. I don't know if it's Kevin Durant. I don't know if it's Mitchell. I really don't know, but it does seem like there's too much talk about the Heat being involved in this whole thing. The fact that it has taken this long to find a trade for Kevin Durant is stunning. Like when James Harden wanted a trade, I mean, that thing happened quick. Like, it was just done, and he's traded.
Well, it's been officially reported by Zach Lowe and a couple other people that the Nets have been super underwhelmed by the trade offers, that they thought they were getting Devin Booker and 5 first, and it's not been that at all.
Right. So because of that, and that reason only, I'm going to play the other side. I'm going to say that the Nets are going to have too hard a time trading Durant. If they could have, they would have. And I think that Mitchell is the next one to go. The other thing, too, is interesting for media placement here, because believe me, I know this from doing this myself. With every report in the media, there's purpose behind the report. And I think this is to stir the pot to find out what Utah can get for Mitchell. I think it's an easier trade than Kevin Durant. I really do. Utah is basically convicted on going nowhere. I mean, I think Brooklyn may still want to play and win a little bit. I'm not sure, but we'll see. I got reality here. I got Mitchell being the next one to go. All right. Those of you who are online at any particular time, which is right now, those of you who are probably online watching us, or maybe you're streaming watching us on OTT, or you're watching us on a Samsung TV or something like that, you have been bombarded the last week with ads for Amazon Prime Day. If you have not seen an ad for Amazon Prime Day, you simply have not been online or watching television. And, you know, kudos to them for advertising, because literally every 5 seconds I'm seeing an ad on this. Naturally, a lot of us use Amazon Prime, that's for sure. And I would ask you, Davis, fantasy or reality, you bought something on Amazon Prime Day. If I'm not mistaken, it was 2 days, or maybe even still be today, I'm not sure. Fantasy or reality?
Yeah, I think maybe for the first time ever, fantasy. I looked, you know, I kind of went through a little bit. I was like, ah, you know, is there anything that's a really good deal? I did not buy anything. I guess if the answer is, will something get delivered to your house on Amazon Prime Day? The answer is reality, because my partner bought a couple things. I think she bought like her nephew, like the present, birthday present or whatever, and a couple other things for around the house. But I did not buy anything. I mean, you know, for Prime Day, Prime Day used to be really good. You know, like maybe like 5, 6 years ago, there would actually be deals on things you really wanted, like video games and PlayStations we discounted, things like that. But now it's just these places clearing out inventory, right? It's just, it's mostly crap.
Yeah, this would be reality only because, again, I don't think that this was done with purpose. I would tell you that I did check to see, and you're right, it did seem like Amazon Prime Day to me, Davis, was things they wanted to sell you, not things that you needed. I don't know, it was a little bizarre. But fantasy for me, but bought something. I'm going to guess, if I check my account, that my wife definitely bought something. We have a trip coming up, and I am quite certain that there were some things purchased, because there's I'm looking on my Arlo, and I'm seeing somebody dropped off something today. So I'm going to guess that this is a reality. But I think you're right, Davis. Like, I mean, I do remember years ago, like, doing a search for something I needed and getting a discount, right? But now it's like, wait, it's the same. The things I needed are the same exact price. But yes, if I want like a indoor grill, I probably could get like $50 off. Like, I feel like that's the way that this headed.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. I mean, it's just kind of one of those things. And like, you know, I mean, consumer spending and everything right now is such a mess anyways. Like, are you even actually getting a discount on these things? It's like, yeah, it's such a violent cycle of like, well, I don't want to spend money right now, but your money is worth less every single day. It's a tough scenes out there. 9.1% CPI. Just stay safe out there, everybody.
All right, let's take one final break here on the show. Coming up next, it's time for the Sports Grid 60, so stay on the grid for that. And then we got the early line coming up at the top of the hour. I'll be back with you at 2 o'clock Eastern for another edition of Newswire. So hopefully you can catch the show a little bit later. And we'll be right back to wrap things up in just a couple of minutes. So stay on the grid. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Make sure you check back in here on Sports Grid, 2 o'clock Eastern. I'll be back with you hosting Newswire. Matthew Waters will join me from Legal Sports Report, so stay on the grid for that. Coming up in just 2 hours from now. Let's turn it over to Davis as we wrap up our show today with the Sports Grid at 60.
All right, so I had a couple seconds to think there at the break about fantasy reality, and we talked about Donovan Mitchell, and I'm actually changing my answer. I'm going reality. The New York Knickerbockers are going to trade for Donovan Mitchell. One, of probably all the teams in the Eastern Conference, they actually probably have the best draft ammo to do it. They just got 3 first-round picks for 1 pick from Oklahoma City. They actually have the cap space to get him in there. They have a couple young guys who could maybe be intriguing to Utah, you know, Obi Toppin, Emmanuel Quickly, Quentin Grimes, you know, so Utah could talk themselves in to these guys. And you know what? The Knicks don't care. They're not getting Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is not coming to play for them. They're not going to be involved in 3-team trades. So they can be out of it. It just doesn't matter. Donovan Mitchell, you heard it here first. I think he's going to get traded to the New York Knicks.
Wow, a change in fantasy reality at the end of the show. You don't hear that from Davis much, so that could potentially happen. There's this weird dynamic going on right now with me with concerts at the moment because, you know, as we've talked about here on the show, anybody who has not had a concert in person the last couple of years, they're on tour right now. And so naturally, the next one to drop here, found out yesterday, is Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. And it's like this dynamic going on right now where I get excited artists coming to my town, but I'm a little nervous when I see it because I know how much this is going to cost me. So I don't really know what I'm actually rooting for sometimes. And seeing that this concert is coming, in fact, to Hollywood, which is where I live, going to be hard to get out of, going to probably cost me a lot of money too. That'll do it for the show today. Thanks to Dubs for coming on and previewing the British Open. Thanks, of course, to LTN, our graphic department of Danny and Ryan, for our producer, Brett Levy, my co-host, Davis Maddock. I'm Craig Nick. I'll see you back here at 2 o'clock Eastern for Newswire.